All right, Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34, the Lord Jesus, these words came right out of his mouth. He's speaking to the Pharisees, calling them a generation of vipers because they were hypocrites. They were not real. They were not genuine. And Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew that they only talked the talk, but they had vicious hearts, critical spirits. And so Jesus is talking to them in Matthew 12 and verse 34. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There it is. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What comes out of your mouth, my friend, starts in your heart. It really does. The heart is the root, the words are the fruit. Now turn with me to another one, chapter 15. And Jesus says almost the same thing, but he's a little more specific in Matthew chapter 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 18. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And then he's talking to them about they had made a big issue out of washing their hands. And he said to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. I hate to almost read that because there'll be some boys in here. They'll try never to wash their hands again. But we ought to wash our hands. But they had made a big spiritual issue out of this thing. Jesus said, you better be concerned about your heart. That's what you need to be concerned about. What is coming out of your heart? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. And Lord, I thank you today for this church. Dear Lord, you know how delighted we are to be here. We love to come here. We feel like we're part of the family. Lord, we love Brother Jerry and his family, Lord. And Lord, we just feel at home. But dear God, I pray today that you do something for us that's supernatural. I pray the presence of God would fill this building, that everybody in here would be aware of the presence of God. There'd be no doubt in any mind that God is here. The Spirit of God is moving in our service. Lord, we've already had a good time with the song service, but I pray, Lord, you'd make it even better. I pray, Lord, that you'd pour out your Spirit here today. I pray, dear Lord, you'd touch every heart. If there is someone here today who does not know Jesus as a personal Savior, I pray they would be saved here today and leave this place ready to be in that number saying Jesus is Lord in that great thunder one day. And I pray this would be the day. Lord, there may be someone here today who is saved, but their heart's not right with God. Lord, they're following you afar off. They're not as close as they once were. Lord, do a work in that heart today. And there may be someone, and probably is, someone, Lord, just with an empty heart. I pray today, Lord, they'd get their heart filled up with the things of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and leave here today a different person. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a verse over in Proverbs. We won't turn to it. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It comes out of your heart. The issues of life come out of the heart. I can't tell you today how important it is to have your heart right with God, to have Jesus in your heart. And you know, I heard a man say one time that he almost made fun of that phrase, having Jesus in your heart. Well, I'd like to put that to rest today. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter number 3? Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prayed a prayer. In fact, he bowed his knees and prayed a prayer for the Ephesian believers. And I want to show you what he prayed. In Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 14, Ephesians 3 and verse 14, if you're there, say amen. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts." You see that? "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." Did you catch that? He said that I'm praying that you might know the love of Christ, but it passeth knowledge. Amen. It's unspeakable. Amen. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Could I ask you today, are you filled with all the fullness of God? Would you be honest with yourself? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your husband, wife, son, daughter, mom, dad. Look at your own heart today as best you can. Are you filled with all the fullness of God? If you're not, why not? If you're not, why not? Why do we want to live with anything less than being filled with all the fullness of God? We're only here for a little time. I mean, we're only here for a short season, then we'll be in eternity forever and ever and ever. And the only thing that matters is what we've done for Christ and how we've lived for Christ. If we know Christ, if we've made him known to others. Well, my friend, we need to be filled with all the fullness of God. And he follows that up with this in verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." What a prayer. What a prayer. You say, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I want the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I want Jesus right in the middle of my heart. I want him to control my heart, have his throne in my heart. My friend, he can not only do what you ask and what you think, but he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Jesus can do that. God can do that today. My friend, let me make a statement here, and I believe it's true. And sometimes it brings me under conviction. I really believe today you are as close to God as you want to be. Right where you sit today, you're as close to God as you want to be. You say, well, I'd like to be closer to God. Well, James said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. You say, how do I draw nigh to God? I'd like to be closer. Hey, read your Bible more. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. My wife and I are in our 60s now. We're still memorizing the Word of God. It ain't easy. It doesn't want to stick. But we're trying to memorize Scriptures together. And God's helping us in that. Memorize the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. You can get it on your iPhone. You can get it on your iBible. You can get an iBible, a little thing from the Sword of the Lord, $49 and a few cents. And where's that brother that used to be the same? There he is. I said that one time here. He took me up on it, and I think he's listened to the Bible 200 times. Is that right? Well, more than he used to anyway. How many times is it? He's lost track. Just listening to the Word of God, I guarantee it transformed his life. I promise you that. It'll transform any life. Amen. Listen to the Word of God. I said that to a young man, to a Sunday school class, and a young man in that class, a young married man with children, told me, said, "Brother Epley, I've started doing that. When I'm going to work, instead of listening to the radio, I listen to the Bible." I said, "Have you seen a difference in your life?" He said, "Yes, I've seen a difference in my life." His wife was sitting right beside him. And I looked right at her and I said, "Have you seen a difference in his life?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "He's not as grouchy." That's exactly what she said. So I asked you today, is he as grouchy? Never mind. But, amen. You say, I want to be closer to God. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, my friend, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. I love that story. Moses, after the golden calf episode, you know, God said, I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel, but I'm not going with you. Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. You know what God said? All right, I'll go. I mean, just like that. God said, I'm not going. You're so stiff-necked, I'm afraid I'll wipe everybody out. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Canaan. It'll mean nothing to me if we don't have you and your presence. God said, all right, I'll go with you. My friend, the Bible still says hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after God. You know what we've done? We've ruined our appetites. We've ruined our appetite for God with so many worldly things. I mentioned A.W. Tozer last night. And one thing that he was known for, and this was 80 years ago, he said, in our churches today, there's a lack of joy. He didn't see much joy in the churches. And he said, entertainment has become the substitute for joy. I believe it has. I believe we've become entertainment crazy. Now listen, I'll watch an Andy Griffith like anybody else. I like Barney Fife. I mean, I'll watch some of those we won't watch, but some we do. I like a little entertainment. We went out the other night as a family with our brother Joe and my daughter Charity and their children. We looked at Christmas lights and had a big time, had a wonderful time together. And I enjoy things like that. But my friend, the biggest thing in our life ought to be God. The biggest thing in our life ought to be Jesus. I mean, knowing Him, spending time with Him, reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer. Is there anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to make anybody a Pharisee today, but is there anybody in here that ever spends an hour with the Lord? Do you ever spend an hour with God? You say, Brother Hepley, spend an hour in prayer? What would I say? I've said everything I need to know in 5 minutes. What would I say in an hour of prayer? I can tell you this, my friend. I can tell you this by experience. You get in that prayer closet, you shut the door. Jesus talked about shutting the door. Amen. Get alone with God and learn how to shut the door, shut the world out, shut yourself in with God. Nobody there but you and God in the presence of the Lord. And you begin to thank God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. You begin to thank God. You begin to praise God. When I get up every morning, I did it this morning over here in this little prophet's chamber, which we love. We love that place. And it's nice and warm in there. I'm telling you, it's very, very warm in there. And we thank God for it. That's an inside joke. Anyway. I met with God this morning, and I thanked Him. I thank Him, number one, for salvation. Then I thank God for my wife. Oh, thank God for my wife. You say, right after salvation? I mean, the most important thing to you after salvation is your wife? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not even close. You say, what about your ministry? If I didn't have a wife like I've got, I wouldn't have a ministry. Amen. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God for healthy bodies and healthy minds. I thank the Lord we've still got freedom. Amen. We've still got freedom in this nation. And I thank God for my church. I thank God for my pastor. Thank God for all these things and other things too. But get into a habit of entering into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. And you know what will happen? The presence of God will come into that prayer closet. And when you're in God's presence, my friend, that's when you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave that place. Has anybody ever experienced, don't raise your hand, but have you ever experienced, you have some time with God and you look at your watch and think, oh no, I've got to go. I've got to go, Lord. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave this place. Lord, go with me. And you're just in the presence of God. My friend, that's what we need today. Our hearts need that. Our hearts need that time with God. Now, I want to tell you where the name of this message today, here's the name of it, It Will Come Out. It will come out. What is in your heart today will come out sooner or later. It'll either come out someday at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved today, if you're born again, washed in the blood, you will not have to stand in judgment at the great white throne. That is for those who rejected Jesus Christ, those who are lost. They'll stand at the great white throne and then go into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But if you're a child of God, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We won't be judged for whether we're saved or lost. It'll be a judgment of how we've served Him. It'll be a judgment of our faithfulness to Him. We'll be rewarded for our service to the Lord. Eternal rewards. Think about that. There'll be rewards that'll last for eternity. And if we haven't served Him and we haven't pleased Him and He cannot say, well done, my good and faithful servant, then my friend, there'll be no rewards. There'll be no smile on His face. But we're going to stand before Him someday. And a lot of it depends on our heart right now. What is going on in your heart when we stand before God? Here, it will come out. Things will come out someday. And things may come out now. Things may come out that you don't even want to come out if they are in your heart. You know, here's where I got this message. About 3.5 or 4 years ago, my father-in-law, Benita's dad, had a stroke. And he was in the hospital and we got a call and we were traveling. And it was Benita's friend. Somebody called and said that her dad was in the hospital with a stroke. And we headed for the Owensboro Hospital. And when we got to that hospital and walked into that room, we were not prepared for what we'd see. There was his dad, her dad, in a bed. And there were some family members in there. This was before the COVID thing. And Brother Garrett, her dad, everybody just always called him Brother Garrett. He was a pastor of one church over 50 years. And there he was in that bed with confusion all over his face. He was just looking around. He didn't know who people were. And, you know, they would come in, they would say, what is your name? And he'd just look at them bewildered. Where do you live? And he couldn't answer. What's your birthday? He didn't know. None of that. Now, thank God much of that has come back to him and he's still able to communicate some now. But that day, he couldn't tell you his name. But there was one thing that made an impression on me I'll never forget. He had hidden something in his heart. He had something in his heart that was coming out of his mouth. When he couldn't tell you his own name or where he lived, he couldn't tell you the name of his wife, still something was coming out of his mouth. And you know what it was? It was three words. He just kept saying, I love you. I love you. I mean, we walked up to his bed and he said, I love you. Anybody that walked up to the bed, even doctors and nurses, he's an 85-year-old man. He's not flirting with that nurse, but he would say, I love you. You know, that I've thought about that so many times. I actually think his heart was bypassing his brain. A blood clot had hit his brain and caused the communication problem, but his heart seemed to be bypassing the brain, and these words were coming out, I love you. And it's because he had spent his life loving God. He had spent his life loving people. Oh, he loved people. And there's no telling how many will be in heaven because that man loved souls and went after souls. And I got saved in his church, and my wife got saved in his church. People all over the world, I guess, have been saved in that little church that he started many years ago. Started in a trailer, in a mobile home, and then moved to another building. But Brother Garrett was in that bed saying, I love you, I love you. And I thought that day, you know what? It will come out. It's coming out, what he put in his heart, what he spent his life saturating his mind with and his heart with. It was coming out. I love you. I love you. You know, he's still like that. He can communicate better now. He speaks in broken English. You know, broken English. And sometimes I can't understand him, but his wife can. And sometimes Benita, my wife, can understand her dad. And sometimes it's better than others. But still, you know, if healthcare workers come, men or women, they come in there to help him. He's 88 years old now. And, you know, walks like this with a walker. And they come in, though, and I love you. Total stranger. Come in, I love you. They've come to help him. He knows that. And so I got this message. It will come out. There was a great preacher of the past named R.G. Lee. Did anybody ever get to hear R.G. Lee preach? Payday Someday. He was known for Payday Someday. I think he preached it 1,000 times all over the world. Payday Someday. Oh, it may be going all right now. You may think you're getting by with it like Ahab and Jezebel did, but there'll be a payday someday. Oh, he was an orator. I mean, he could speak like I cannot speak. But R.G. Lee lost his mind. He lost his mind. But I read where he sat in a room and quoted Scripture. The Word of God just poured out of him, sitting in a room by himself. He didn't know anybody. He lost his mind, but he hadn't lost his heart. What was in his heart, it was coming out of that heart. The heart is the root and the words are the fruit, my friend. We better take care of our hearts. We better get our hearts right with God. We better make sure Jesus is in our heart and the Word of God and the Spirit of God in control. My mom lived to be 93. And my mom was once a Sunday school teacher. And she loved it. She loved to teach children. My mom loved the Lord. I thank God. I've got wonderful, precious memories of my mom and how she loved the Lord. And here is the last memory of my mom serving the Lord. One night in an apartment in Lewisport, Kentucky, we'd gotten her out of the hospital. She had dementia. She didn't, at that time, I don't think she knew who I was. But 93, and we were in this little apartment. And one night, my mom sat in the living room, and she taught a Sunday school class. She taught this Sunday school class, but there was nobody there. Nobody was there. And yet she's teaching them the Word of God as children, and she's even answering their questions. All this is going on. My wife and I are sitting at a table watching her for about an hour. She taught that Sunday school class. You know what? That's what was in her heart. That was coming out. The mind was gone, and that was coming out of her heart, my friend. Are you getting the picture today? My friend, the heart, it will come out. What's in your heart today? Now, I've seen the opposite. These are good examples, but I've seen the opposite. Mom had a neighbor. And this neighbor claimed to be saved, claimed to know the Lord, talked about her preacher, her son who was a preacher. But one day, down in the parking lot, Mom lived in these apartments with these older women. And I've heard my mom say, I don't want to sit down there with those old women. She was the oldest one in the whole apartment. I don't want to sit down there with those old women. All they do is gossip. But she loved them and they loved her. But one day in that apartment, parking lot, an older lady, another neighbor, went out, got in her car, and backed right into another car. And the neighbor downstairs looked out the window, and she went ballistic because this other woman who lived right above her by my mom had backed into one of her relative's car. And she had already thought that woman shouldn't be driving. She's too old to be driving. Now she's backed into a car and it's one of her loved ones. And she lost it. She came out of that apartment and she was saying things to that old woman who was just backed into that car. She was saying terrible things to her. She was using bad language, talking to that woman. You know, it wasn't long until she came to herself. She caught herself, and the old woman had already gone back up to her apartment with a broken heart. you know. And this woman downstairs, she caught herself. She was in her 80s. And she walked up those stairs with tears in her eyes, and she apologized for what she had said. But my friend, that's what was in her heart. And when she didn't even expect it, when she didn't even realize it, it came out. It came out to her embarrassment, to her shame. It came out. And my friend, it will come out. If not down here, one day it'll come out. And we need to keep our hearts clean, have our hearts pure. And I want to just give out a warning today about secret sins, because there's an epidemic of secret sins today. So much can happen in a person's life today, and it can all be private. You think nobody sees, nobody knows. Things that go on cell phones, things that happen on computers. There's a man out there preaching a message, and I think everybody ought to listen to it. His name is Rand Hummel, and I don't know much about him, except he speaks at youth camps. He's one of those guys, he's a perpetual youth speaker, even though he's getting up probably in his 60s. And you don't know anybody like that, do you? But they'll always be in demand with young people. But Rand Hummel is out there. I know he preaches at that camp called The Wilds. And he's got a message called The Dark Side of the Internet. Everybody ought to hear that. If you got children, teenagers, you ought to hear that. I mean, every husband and wife ought to hear that. He tells these stories that of people, young people who've come to him at youth camps and said, "My dad is watching pornography. I caught him doing it. He denied it, but I caught him doing it." Teenage girls, he said, three in one camp came up to him and said, "I got up in the middle of the night for some reason and said, I saw a light and I went in and I saw my dad looking at pornography." With broken hearts, these young people tell this. And my friend, people can get so good at hiding their sin. You can become an expert at hiding your sin. You think it's hidden, but it's not hidden to God. God sees that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And one man came and said, "My dad was my hero. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a successful businessman. My dad made a lot of money, and he put young people through Bible college. I don't know how many." And he said, "My dad was sitting at home one night with my mother. They were having devotions." Are you listening? They were having devotions when the state police came and surrounded the house. And a knock came at the door. And they came in. And they came in to arrest that man, because they were convinced that he was a dealer in child pornography. And here's why. Do you know what a cyber cop is? There are people called cyber cops, and they watch the internet. They patrol, not the neighborhood, they patrol the internet. And they're watching. Sometimes when you're watching something, somebody's watching you. And they had watched this man. He had gone to so many child pornography sites that they were convinced he was a dealer. Now, that may be an extreme. That man, the son told Rand Hummel, he said, "My dad lost everything. Lost his reputation. Probably lost his marriage. Lost his job. All that." And that may seem extreme, but think about it. That man had everybody, including his wife, fooled. But when she would go to bed at night, he would go into a room with that computer. And you know, one man that Rand Hummel confronted about that, because the daughter was so upset, she said, "I can't talk to my dad." And it was another one where he was very religious and Sunday school teacher and all that. And, you know, Rand Hummel called the man and he said, "Your daughter has seen something on your computer." And the man got real quiet. And the man said, "I've always had a problem with my thought life. But," he said, "now it's just too easy. It's just too easy." Now, there might not be a problem in this whole room with pornography. I don't know that. But I tell you what, I doubt that's the case. I doubt it's the case. Focus on the Family has a hotline for preachers, for pastors. And they said 1 out of 7 calls are from pastors who've gotten hooked on pornography. You can't deny, my friend, lust has taken over America. Lust is everywhere. I mean, whatever you turn on, if you turn on a movie, there'll be some nakedness in there. You turn on your television, there's going to be some nakedness on there. And the devil knows what he's doing. And we're a country today overcome by lust, and this is one of the products of it. I want to give you a verse today on this very thing, secret sins, Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso, here's the good news, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Brother, if you forsake that sin and turn to God and confess that sin, to confess means to say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. That's what confession is. God, you're right and I'm wrong. If you'll confess that to God and forsake it, you can have mercy. But my friend, if you cover it up, if you cover it up, Brother Brown put it like this. He said, you better come to God before God has to come to you. You better come to God before God has to come to you, my friend. He said in the book of Revelation, there was a false prophetess named Jezebel and said, I gave her a space to repent. I gave her a space. I gave her a time that she could repent, but she did not repent. And God came to her. My friend, get right with God. If you're here today and things are not right, if you've got secret sin, it may not be as drastic. It may not have gone as far as some of these that I've told about today. But if you're even on that road, my friend, get off that road. And I don't know what it might be. That's the sin that I feel like God wanted me to say something about today. But it may be something totally different from that. Something going on in your life. Some secret sin. I just ask you today, what is in your heart? I want to say this today. Some of the great, great men in the Word of God, you find their greatness started in their heart. I love the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a revival when Israel, Judah, was in such a terrible shape that his dad, Ahaz, was a wicked man, shut the doors of the house of God. They worshiped idols. He offered his children in the fire to a false idol. But then Hezekiah, 25 years old, 25 years old, Hezekiah came to the throne of Judah and said, there's going to be some changes made. We're going back to God. Clean out the house of God. Open up the doors of the house of God. We're going to have the Passover again. We're going to sing the songs of David again. Oh, I love that. They had revival. You know where it all started? He said to his men, he said, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. He said, it's in my heart. Hezekiah got something in his heart that made him want to have revival. Then there was revival under Josiah. And the Bible says about Josiah, he turned to the Lord with all his heart. Turned to the Lord with all of his heart. Then there's Jehoshaphat. God did mighty things with Jehoshaphat. Why is it nobody names their son Jehoshaphat anymore? Could somebody answer me that? He was a great man. Nobody names their boy Jehoshaphat. It says his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. His heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Nehemiah, the great wall builder, Nehemiah. You know where it started in his heart? He said, I didn't tell anybody what my God had put in my heart to do. Could I ask you today, what has God put in your heart to do? What has God put in your heart to do? I don't know. I don't think there's anything in my heart. You ought to get something in your heart that God has put in your heart to do. I guarantee you these people that pulled up with these buses today, they're not doing that for pleasure. They're not doing that just to get some kicks. There's work in that. There's some striving in that. God has put it in their heart. But you know, the tragedy is it can work the other way. There's a great man named Solomon. Solomon got that wisdom as a gift from God. And Solomon, here's what the Bible says. His heart was turned from the Lord. His heart was turned from the Lord. Now, you know what did it for Solomon? Women. Women. Let me just say to you men today, you married men, stay in love with your wife. Stay in love with your wife. I mean, keep the romance going with your wife. And keep your eyes off other women. Keep your mind off other women. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm preaching to somebody that needs this today. You need to fall in love all over again with your wife. Solomon, he got filled with lust. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Women turned to, and some of those women that he married, they were idol-worshiping women from other countries. And he paid an awful price for that. You know, anything can turn your heart away from God. Money can turn your heart away from God. You get so interested in money that you turn away from God. Pleasure can turn your heart away from God. My friend, sports can turn your heart away from God. I've been in churches where, you know, everybody's standing around talking about who won the ball game and who did this and who did that. Nobody talking about Jesus. People infatuated with sports. You know, friends can turn away. You may have a friend that's turning your heart away from God. Amnon had a friend, and it was his ruin. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I mean, put your treasure in the right place, and your heart will follow your treasure. Amen. What are you allowing the world to put in your heart today? Let me give you something real quick here. What we need in our hearts. What we need in our hearts. Number one, we need Jesus, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Our hearts need the word of God. We need to memorize the word of God. Here's why. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our hearts need the Word of God. Put the Word of God in you. It will reveal some things. You know what? While you read the Word of God, the Word of God will read you. Amen. Amen. The Word of God will read you, my friend. It'll show you some things about your inner man. God will bring some things to your attention as you read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Oh, get the Word of God in your heart. Saturate your heart with the Word of God. Some of you today, I have no doubt, you spend more time in front of a television than you spend with God's Word in the prayer closet, in things involving God. You spend more time in front of a television. You say, well, I'm just watching the news. I'm trying to keep up with the news. My friend, could I give you a warning there? You say, well, I've got to be informed. I need to be informed. You can get so informed that you're deformed. And I believe I've met people like that. You can get cynical. You can get critical. You can get so negative. Oh, listen, we watch and listen to a little bit of news. My wife can get Newsmax on her phone. And we watch a little bit. We try to keep up with, we listen to a little bit of talk radio, but my friend, beware of that. Right. You ought to spend more time in the Word of God than you spend listening to Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. Some people give Rush 3 hours of their day and give God 10 minutes in the Bible. No wonder we don't have victory. Boy, you know, I appreciate many things Rush says, but I'm going to tell you this, he doesn't have the answer. Hannity doesn't have the answer. Mark Levin doesn't have the answer. They don't have the answer. None of them are saying, this country needs Jesus. This country better get right with God. This country better repent. That's what we need. None of them are saying, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. None of them are saying that. They talk about conservatism, and I'm for it. I vote for conservatives. But my friend, we can easily see now what can happen in our country. We need more than just voting. Brother, we need some praying. We need some getting right with God. We need some repenting in our country. You know what our hearts need? Our hearts need the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it's the Holy Ghost who sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. He sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. He fills our hearts with the love of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Can I ask you today, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Right now where you sit, are you filled with the Spirit of God? You say, I don't know if I am or not. You ought to come to this altar and ask God. You ought to come to the altar today and say, God, am I filled with the Spirit? If I'm not, I want to be. The Bible commands us, be filled with the Spirit. But here's what we do. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. To put him in distress, to make him sad, to bring a heaviness upon the Spirit of God. If you're saved today, my friend, he's not going to leave you. The Spirit of God won't leave you. But he'll be there, but he's so grieved and he's so quenched that he's not able to operate in your life. And that's why you don't have the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering flowing out of your life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And it all comes from the heart, my friend. We need a heart filled with the love of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. My friend, here's something else our hearts need. Our hearts need church. We need church. And you say, well, brother, here I am. Amen. Don't preach to me. Where will you be tonight? Where will you be tonight? Will you be here? You need to be here. Your heart needs to be here. What's more important than church tonight? What is it, would somebody tell me, what's more important than coming back to the house of God tonight? And what is more important on Wednesday night than being in the house of God? What is more important? Our hearts need the church house, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to expose ourselves to the house of God. And let me say this, our hearts need prayer. Our hearts need that prayer closet. Yes, God answers prayer. Yes, we can get things from God when we pray. Amen. That's why we pray. But that's not the only reason we pray. When we're in that prayer closet, my friend, meeting with God, something's happening in our hearts. Our hearts are bonding with God. We're drawing close to God. We're drawing nigh to God. God's doing a work in our heart. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit. Do you pray in the Spirit? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's when the Spirit takes over. He takes control of our mind. Our requests are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. And we spend time in that prayer closet with God. The Bible says in Psalm 62:8, pour out your hearts before Him. Pour out your heart to God. Here's what a man wrote years ago. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Did you catch that? He said, because I've spent that hour with God in prayer, I've escaped the tempter's snare. The devil's got snares laid all over the place. And we can escape those if we spend time with God, get filled with the Spirit, get filled with the Word of God. We can escape those snares and go to heaven and stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well done. Let's bow our heads today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And I want Brother Jerry to come and give the invitation. I just want to thank you for your attention today. Thank you for being here in the house of God. God bless these young people looking out at them. They're paying attention. They're listening. Has God spoken to you today? Did God speak to you about something? Is there a hidden sin in your life? Is there a hidden sin in your life? You better come to God before God has to come to you. Amen. How's your heart today? How is it? Is your heart filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God? Is your heart right with the Lord?